EWA 517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative, we want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, Senator.
Ares 31, me neither.
Number 71, Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
Number 71, Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. A UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Emergency 1095. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about some UFOs? They're out there. Same airplanes.
At a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, man, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Our guest tonight is Sev Tok from North Carolina. She has had ET contact for over 45 years, keeping it secret until recently. Sev appeared as a guest speaker at AlienCon in Baltimore in November of 2018. Welcome to the show, Sev.
It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners. Thank you, Nick.
I really appreciate you coming on tonight. You started having contact at 10 years old. Can you start there and kind of walk the audience in, please?
All right. My earliest recollections are of when I was 10, and I was regularly visited by this galactic being who would come in a spaceship. And I would be outside waiting for him. And when I saw the spaceship, I would be so happy and so excited. And he would come out and he looked pretty human. He was a young man, looked like maybe in his 20s or 30s. And I couldn't tell if it was a one piece outfit or a shirt and a pants, but it was dark colored. And he had dark hair, and his ears were slightly different. They were a little more almond shaped. He would come out, and we would talk. He just wanted to make sure I was okay. And I lost count how many times I had these visits. And whenever I came to in my bedroom, I would just be shocked. That wasn't real. Like, I just could not believe that that wasn't real in my gut. I knew it was real, but it just didn't make sense to me. After I would have each one of these experiences, I would then have to get dressed and go to fifth grade. And I just wouldn't tell anybody. Even though my parents were very open to this kind of things, I still didn't share it with them. And this continued until I was around age 12. I remember the very last visit, and he came and he got out of the ship. For the first time, we weren't alone. I was with a group of kids, and I'd never seen them before, and they were about my age. He got in the spaceship, and he just took off, and we're all just looking at him, and we all knew that we're not going to see him again. And I just looked around at these other kids, wondering, who are they, and why is he gone? And then I'm popped back into my bedroom again. So here it is 45 years later. I would like to be reunited with these kids. I do believe that I, along with these kids, are here on a mission. And while we were young, we were being checked up on to make sure that we're okay. I know I've met one of those children, possibly met a few more. But I'm very open to reconnecting with those kids. We might not all be from the same place. We might all come from different places. But I do believe that we're all here on a mission. And that was age 12. And then for the rest of my life, up until around the age of 54 or so, I just had tons of experiences that I just chose to ignore because I was embarrassed to tell people about them. I was also worried about my own sanity. Things started to really amp up after my second divorce, which was around 2011. I was living alone, and a lot of things started happening. I would wake up with marks on my body that I couldn't explain, bruises all over my body that I couldn't explain, conscious memories of being with the Grays. It was starting to get to me. I knew something was happening, and I still didn't feel comfortable really talking about it with anybody. And then September 2017, I moved here to the Inner Banks of North Carolina with my boyfriend. The second night I'm here, I made contact with the Grays, and they burned two X's into my back, two red X's. And I have a picture of it in my book, and the X's are about an inch square, and they're made up of nine red dots, nine little red dots that look like burn marks, and they were on my butt. So the first one was on my left cheek, and then 9 days later, there was another one that appeared on my right cheek. So the first one, I didn't have a conscious memory of being with a Gray, but I was in the kitchen unpacking dishes, and it felt like something bit my butt, and it hurt. So I called over to my boyfriend, Patrick, I think something bit my butt. Will you look at it? And he's like, yeah. So I go over to the living room, and I'm giggling at the fact that I'm going to go over there and pull down my pants. He's going to look at my butt, which is exactly what I do. And he's looking at it, and there's just silence. I'm like, and I start to get nervous. Because at that point, I had been in contact with the Grays before, and I was always ready for something weird to happen again. And there's a silence. He's not saying anything. So I'm like, well, does something bite me? And he said, yeah. And there's also a red X. And oh my gosh, I was this gut feeling. I just knew it was the Grays. And back then, I didn't like the Grays. I thought the Grays were bad. I thought they were hurting me. I was afraid of them. I have completely changed my mind since then. So we took a picture of this X, and I was just stunned, and he was stunned too. And my boyfriend is very, very logical. And we're just looking at each other like, what on earth could burn an X like that into my butt without me even feeling it? So for the next couple of days, I searched the house, I searched the yard, I searched the car, trying to figure out what could do that. I couldn't find anything. So just like all the other experiences I've had, including the contact that I had in Roswell, New Mexico, and other contact that I had on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., contact that I had in Baltimore, all of that, I would just try to ignore. So I get this red X on my butt, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ignore it. But then 9 days later, I come to in my bedroom, and I have a very conscious memory that I'm on a bed that resembles a hospital bed. I'm in a room that looks and feels very sterile. There's hardly any furniture in it. And I can't move my arms, and I can't move my legs. And I'm lying on my side. And it feels like there's something behind me, and I could move my head. So I turn my head, and standing behind me is a Gray. And we lock eyes. I look into his eyes. He looks into my eyes. It was like looking into two pools of black oil. And I was scared to death. Now, the energy coming from the Gray was very neutral. Many of my experiences with the Grays are where they're neutral. They're not mean and they're not nice. They're neutral. I had one experience where they showed me a baby in a tube, and they were very nice. So I turned back around, and then next thing I know, ding, I'm popped back into 3D reality in my bedroom. I just had this gut feeling there was going to be another X on me. So I go downstairs, and I'm waiting for my boyfriend to come downstairs, and I'm dreading the question of asking him to look at my butt again. So I tell him what I remember, and there was also something else about that experience which I had never experienced before, and that is that I knew I was on the moon. So I asked my boyfriend, will you look at my butt? And once again, he looks at it and there's a silence. I just feel fear. It enters through the top of my head and completely flows through my body and out my toes. And I knew there was another X. We took a picture of it, and sure enough, there's another X on my right cheek that looks just like the first X right across from it. And I have a picture of this in my book. It's really hard to describe what shock and panic and fear all at the same time feels like. It was like time stood still. And what I thought was real is not real anymore. I was really confused, and I just started to cry. And my boyfriend asked me, what can I do for you? And I just had no answer. So I just tried to collect myself, and then I said, I need help. Like, I cannot deal with this alone. I need help, or I'm going to go crazy. Because now all of a sudden, 45 years of experiences are starting to rush through my mind. And I'm starting to realize they were all real, because I wondered, was I just imagining them? Even though I would have bruises and marks on my body, I never had a red X. And so these X's made me realize that these are not dreams. Dreams don't burn two red X's into your back. So I shared this with a couple of my close girlfriends. And one day my girlfriend Elizabeth, who lives on Maui, suggested that I watch the movie by Dr. Stephen Greer. Oh my gosh, I now forgot the title of the movie. Do you know what it is, Nick?
Unacknowledged.
Yes, thank you. Unacknowledged. So I watched it and I was really wowed by it. And it lit this fire in me. And I got up and I went over to my computer and I told myself, I have to contact somebody. I have to send them a picture of this X, and somebody has to help me. So I heard in my head, MUFON. So I Googled MUFON and I saw Kathleen Martin, who's the director of experiencer research at MUFON. And I told myself, she's the one. She's also the niece of Betty and Barney Hill. So I sent her the X and I told her my story, and she responded right away. And next thing I know, we're Skyping, and we Skyped for an hour and a half. And that was such an important conversation for me. She's such a kind, sweet, helpful lady. It changed my life. She validated my experiences for me. And we also agreed that a lot of these experiences happen in the multi-dimensions. It's not just all 3D. It doesn't all happen while you're awake and your eyes are open. Most ET contact happens in a multidimensional, interdimensional way, and you're taken through time warps. And they're done in such a way that the brain has a really hard time really coming up with a name for it. So it gives it the name dream, but they're not dreams, they're real. So after I talked with her, I really didn't know what I was going to do. I had visions in my mind's eye of being on stage and talking about this, but at that point, it was all so new. I really didn't know if I wanted to come out. So I just sat on it for a while. And then one day I woke up and I just told my boyfriend, I'm writing a book. And I wrote the book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, in 2 months. And it debuted on Amazon. And then 2 weeks later, I heard from AlienCon in Baltimore. Got an email saying, congratulations, you're a speaker. And that was my coming out at AlienCon in Baltimore. And it was appropriate because it's at AlienCon, and also it's in Baltimore, where I lived for 25 years. And that was a magnificent experience for me. My talk was very well received. And I also sat at my vendor table selling my books and talking to a lot of people. And almost everyone who came up to me had an ET story. And that just really surprised me. A lot of them would say, I've never told anyone this before. And then they would tell me their story. And I realized there's a need. There's a need for people to have to get it. They want to get it out. And they want to tell somebody who's not going to criticize them, and who's not going to mock them, who's not going to dismiss it. So I recently started a forum. It's free. It's on my website, planetsev.com, and it's called Encounters, where you can write me your story and I'll respond. And even though it's new, I've had lots of people respond, and I write them back, and then they write me back, and I write them back, and I completely enjoy it. And the stories are fascinating. I just want to do whatever I can to help experiencers know that they're not alone. I'll help them process it. I'll help them validate it, like Kathleen Martin did to me. And I also have a section called True ET Stories, where I share some of the stories, but anonymously, because I don't want to out anybody. I really think it's important when you're processing your encounter, because it's an amazing experience. It just shakes your world and your reality. An important part of processing such a remarkable experience is to come out. And so that's why I anonymously share bits and pieces of people's stories so other experiencers can read them and know they're not alone. And it might spark a remembrance within them. And also for all the people who are on the fence, who aren't sure if there's aliens, maybe there's aliens, I don't know. Maybe help the people on the fence realize that this is real and we're not making it up. And to this day, no one can come up with a really good reason as to how I got those X marks burned on me. I do think that was done because I needed something really severe in order to come out. I do think my mission is to come out and tell everybody that there's millions of us. I'm not special. There's millions of us having contact. A lot of people don't know it because they think it's a dream. I'm so glad I came out because it's completely changed my life for the better. And I've also learned that the reason I thought the grays were bad and evil was because I was viewing them through the lens of fear. As I was viewing my life, most of my life, I lived viewing it through the lens of fear. And I had two abusive marriages. And so I just assumed that the grays were abusing me too. And it wasn't until I did the self work and the spiritual introspection and I got rid of that vibration of victimization and fear that I realized that the grays were helping me. They were helping me physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I do not think that the grays are evil. Sometimes when you come in contact with them, they're very neutral, and that's scary. We're not used to completely neutral. And so that freaks us out, like, oh my gosh, this being is so neutral. Like, what's it going to do? Like, kill me in the next second? That's something that humans are throwing into the experience. We have been trained to be afraid, and we have been trained to be fearful of what we don't know and what we don't understand. And because I've also been in contact with other beings, I call them the blue people, who are very, very loving. And because I now know that the grays were not out to hurt me, I do not resonate, nor do I align with any storyline that has aliens that are out to get us, out to ruin us, out to hurt us. I hardly ever use the word abduction, because to me, abduction, connotes something that's against our will. I believe we all have a higher self, as do the aliens. And there was an agreement between my higher self and their higher self that I would have this experience. We do all kinds of things and have experiences with all kinds of humans that seem bad, but our higher selves are agreeing to it. We don't have to understand it, but it is for our own good. And because of that, I don't believe that anyone who has an experience with an alien or ET is being forced to have it, or it's really against their will because their higher selves are agreeing to it. And even though we don't understand it, that's totally okay. If we choose to try to understand it, if we choose to try to see the positive side of this amazing experience, we can really grow through it. And it provides a perspective. It provides a higher perspective through which you can live your life And that's very, very advantageous. I will talk about what happened to me in Roswell, New Mexico, which was really a very life-altering experience. That happened in November of 2016. And it was a very unexpected trip to Roswell. And my boyfriend, who was living in Hawaii at the time, called me and said, I have to go to White Sands, New Mexico for work, to the missile range there. And so why don't you fly out to El Paso and I'll pick you up. I'll show you White Sands and then I'll take you to Roswell. And that was very exciting because I've known about Roswell since I was a little girl. So we went to White Sands first, and White Sands is beautiful, except for the missile range, which is not beautiful at all. And I did not like the missile range at all. The second we got there, I wanted to turn around and run away. It has a horrible, horrible energy. It's at the base of this black mountain. And like all the hair on my body was just standing up. So after that unfortunate experience, we get in the car and we drive up to Roswell. And we spend the afternoon at the museum, which was fun. And then we go back to our hotel room. And then we're both really tired. So I'm sitting on the bed and I'm flicking through the channels and my boyfriend's in the bathroom and he comes out of the bathroom and I stopped the TV on a commercial. I stopped the channel on a commercial and he said something to me. While he was in the bathroom, I was thinking to myself, I wish the show, People of Earth was on. And I don't know if you get People of Earth over there where you are. Do you know that show?
Oh, a great show. I think it's been discontinued, though, unfortunately.
Yes, 2 seasons, yeah. So my boyfriend hadn't seen it, and I really like that show. But I knew that the last episode had aired, and I knew it wasn't on. So when he came out of the bathroom, he said something to me. And then the next thing I know, I had stopped the TV on this commercial. The next thing I know, People of Earth comes on. It kind of freaked me out. I was like, whoa, okay, I guess we're meant to watch this. So we watched it, and he liked it, and we laughed, and we went to sleep. And the next thing, my eyes popped open, and the room was pitch black. I could see nothing, but I could hear footsteps on the carpet. And then I felt my boyfriend getting into the bed. And I thought to myself, why was Patrick sitting on the couch? Was it because of the aliens? And then I fell asleep. So I wake up in the morning and Patrick's in the shower. And I think to myself, why did I think Patrick was sitting on the couch? Because he never gets up in the middle of the night and sits on the couch. Plus the room was pitch black. I had no idea where he was. And why did I think it was the aliens? And then all of a sudden, there's just this gush of memory and visuals. And I see that I was having a conference with these grays. There was a bunch of grays. And they were telling me about the hybridization program. And they were telling me why they were doing it and how I was involved. And a few years prior, when I saw myself in that dark room with the baby in the tube, all of that started to make sense. I realized I'm part of the hybridization program. And they said that their species, as the grays, were dying out. And that was because they lacked empathy and sympathy. And so that's what they're looking for. And so these hybrids that they're making, they're like genetically splicing in the ability to be empathetic and sympathetic and very loving. So these embryos that they have, and they have billions of them because there are millions of people who are involved in the hybridization program, men and women. These babies are highly intelligent, extremely intuitive, and very loving. I also learned that there's a little bit of a fear within the galactic community as to what's going to happen to these billions of little embryos that are being kept, if they fall into the hands of a group of people that have evil intent, what are they going to do with these embryos? Are they going to turn them into killing machines? And I was told that these embryos are so loving that they don't make a good killing machine. That if anyone did get a hold of them and raised them, hoping that they would make good killing machines, that they would be very disappointed. So that was a good thing to know. The reason that there are these embryos is in case we humans annihilate ourselves, they can be used to reseed this planet. So I had just seen a baby in a tube. I have heard stories of other experiencers who've met the children that they've had, who've held them, who've seen them. I haven't had that experience. I don't know how many I have. It was made clear to me that I have been involved in that process. There were many times over the course of many years when I was younger where I would go to bed fully clothed, but I would wake up completely naked and with all kinds of marks and bruises all over my body. So this experience in Roswell really messed me up a little bit, messed my boyfriend up a little bit too. It was really weird. The other thing I remembered, not only the hybridization program, but they were talking to me about a book. I went back home and I just couldn't shake it. I went back to Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C. I just couldn't shake it. There was something more. I needed to know more. I had a conscious memory of a part of it, but I needed to know the rest of it. So I confided in a girlfriend and she said that she knew a regression therapist in Virginia named Diane Kensler, and that I should go to her. So I did. And she was 3 hours from me. And I called her and I made an appointment. And I said to my boyfriend, I said, next Sunday, we're driving 3 hours one way to Virginia so I can be hypnotized. And he said, okay. So that's what we did. And there's a lot of information that came out. And it was very, very helpful to me. Not only about the Roswell incident, but also about my mission and that I am here to help experiencers and also to spread the word that we are not alone and that we've been communicating for a long time and there's millions of us communicating. And I do recommend if people do go under regression, if they have some little bits and pieces of memories, it's not a scary thing. You're in total control. So it's not like she could have told me to do something that I didn't want to do when I would have done it. You're in control of yourself, but you're in this altered state where you can hear, feel, and see information. It's like you're tuned into a radio in another frequency and tuned into a television from another frequency. And my boyfriend was there the whole time and he watched it. Like I said, he's very, very logical. And afterwards I asked him, what did you think? And he said, well, I can't explain what happened, but I know something unusual happened and I know you. And there were many times where you were using words you don't use and you were talking in ways that you don't talk. So something unusual was going on. It's hard for him to really be, like a total believer, but he is not a non-believer. He likes proof and logic. I thought that having two red X's burned in my ass would be good proof, but he just looks at it and scratches his head. Lots of weird things have been happening to me that he cannot explain. Even though he doesn't say absolutely 100%, this is absolutely an alien abduction. He doesn't say it's impossible. And he just says it's possible. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what this is. It's highly unusual. It's weird. It's bizarre. And I have a lot of circumstantial evidence. And I kind of like the fact that I'm with someone who is very logical, because it kind of, it helps me kind of get a good grip on what's going on and that I just don't get too lost in it. I have a biology pre-med degree from Loyola in Baltimore, Maryland. So I do tend to like scientific and biological proof myself. But I'm at this stage now where I really trust my gut and my instincts. And I know that we're multidimensional beings and we exist in a variety of dimensions and we're all having experiences in these other dimensions simultaneously. So while I'm here at my desk talking to you, there's also another part of me that's having a life in another dimension that's communicating with other people having that life in that dimension, communicating with aliens that are in another dimension. It just goes on and on and on, all these different parts of ourselves that are living in other dimensions. And some people call them past lives. You might have heard that there's no such thing as time. Everything is happening right now. So there's no past and no future. So there really is no past life. And all of our different consciousnesses are happening right now. And I fully believe that whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, you're having these experiences with other parts of other humans and other parts of aliens, and it just goes on and on and on into infinity. There's a lot of it I can't explain, and a lot of it is just way over my head. I don't know much. I just know what I've experienced. And, it's real. It's true. And I really hope that more people come out and talk about their experiences. And that's really, really very fulfilling work for me to help people, come out and know that they're not crazy, because for 45 years, I thought I was crazy, and that's a really difficult way to live. It's not fun. Now I know I'm not crazy. And also for 45 years, I really worried about what other people were going to think of me, and it doesn't matter anymore. That doesn't hold me back anymore. It's very freeing. I've been on this path of authenticity because I really believe when you express your true authentic self, you're the most fulfilled and the most successful, the most abundant, the most healthy, peaceful. And so I started that path several years ago. It's my career. I help other people become their most authentic selves. And my path of authenticity included the ETs. It's not everyone's path, but it was my path. And so that's why I had to come head to head with it, with these red X's, like everything collided all at once. I was like, okay, here I want to be the most authentic version of myself, and it includes ETs. And so what I've been hiding for 45 years, I have got to face. And what I've been embarrassed to talk about, I have got to talk about. And what I've been hiding, I have to illuminate. And it was so hard for me. But what kept me going and what fueled me was this intense desire that I have to be the most authentic me I can possibly be. I think that is how I will be the most beneficial for myself and for everyone I know and for the earth. And that was my power. That's what made me face it head on. That's what made me come out. And so far, so good. No one's really come into my face and told me I'm crazy. But I think if that happens, I can probably handle it. You know, when you really know, believe something 100% and someone comes up to you and tells you you're wrong, it doesn't matter. I'm not here to change anybody's belief system. I'm just stating my facts. And if you believe me, wonderful. If you don't believe me, I totally respect that. This is like crazy stories. It's weird. It's bizarre. But it's the truth. So I don't know what's going to come next as far as my mission and my role in getting all of this out. I'm still having ET contact. Just a few weeks ago in March, I had a shared ET experience with my friend Jenna. She lives in Florida and I live here in North Carolina. And one night we were both taken at the same time and we saw the same beings. We keep having these really bizarre events where we do astral projection and we see each other, and these ET encounters that we're having together, and something really unbelievable is happening between her and myself. It's this, like this, we're living together in these other dimensions and having these experiences in these other dimensions together. Just very recently, we had a dream where we both saw the same thing. Now, was it a dream or was it an alien encounter? Sometimes it's hard to tell, but the experiences that we're having are just mind-blowing. I'm not ready to talk about all of it yet. I'm going to go to Florida next week and be with her so we can be together and try and really understand what's happening, because we're both just really amazed at how we're having these experiences in these other realms of awareness. And I know other people are too. And eventually we're going to talk about our shared stories and write a book. And I have a YouTube channel called Alien Spirit TV. I'm going to interview her. And in fact, today I just uploaded a new video about telepathy and how many experiencers have telepathic communications with these ETs. So I talk about what telepathy is and how humans have a fear of telepathy and how we can strengthen our innate telepathic abilities. And so it just gives me great pleasure to have the freedom to make these videos and to write and to talk. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to talk. It really makes my heart twinkle. It feels really good. And as long as it feels good, I'm going to keep on doing it. I really don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know where I'm going with it, and that's totally okay. But I just check in with myself to make sure that I feel good about what I'm doing, and I feel really good about what I'm doing. And I hope that this message will help other people, other experiencers, know that, you know, when you come out, it's going to be a really good experience because it completely changes your life. And it takes away that the shame and the guilt and the worry and the negativity that we've just been living under. It's ridiculous. There's no need for it. Society is making us shut up. Well, I'm just not going to stand for that anymore. Like, who the heck is society to tell me that I have to be quiet? No, I'm going to say whatever it is that I want to say. And it's surprising how many people will support you. It's surprising how many people really believe you. There is a transformation going on. It's a lot easier to come out now than it was several years ago, because you can find online groups and you have wonderful interviews and like this podcast. And it's just getting easier and easier and easier to get help and to get validation. And so I hope whoever's listening to this, if you have had experiences, you can either share them with me on my encounters forum on my website, or come out to somebody else and join a group, or just get it off your chest, because it's going to change your life. When you're holding on to that energy, it affects you, and it affects you negatively, and then your life reflects that. So I'm very grateful that Nick, that you invited me on to talk.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. And to talk into another country. That's really cool too. So it's extending beyond the US, and I've done some interviews in Canada too, but now it's into the UK, and that's really totally cool.
Spreading the message.
Mm-hmm.
Just reading your email, you said you had an experience. What was your friend called again? What's her name?
Jenna.
The one in Florida.
Yeah, Jenna Collins.
You said you had an experience with this white dogs and white beings.
Yes, yes.
Just explain the white dogs. It's unusual.
Yeah, that was unusual. She was on a spaceship, and we have drawings of all of this. And on my YouTube channel, Alien Spirit TV, I made a little video called White Dog Encounter. That's what we call it, where I share our pictures and all our drawings. And she was on a spaceship, and she saw these babies in these tubes. She saw these blue beings that I have seen before. and she saw these little white dogs running around. And in my experience, when I was taken at the same time, I saw a small white being that looked like it was glowing like a light bulb and a little white dog. It's this white dog that doesn't have any fur, and its skin is very translucent. Like, you can see like these blue lines under it, and I don't know if those are veins or if those are organs. It has a tail. It was very friendly. The next morning when we came to, and she texted me, she said, "I was taken last night." And I said, "Oh my God, I was taken too." Then we both told each other that we both saw white dogs. It was like, whoa. And after a few days after my experience, I listened to a video of a gentleman named Chris Bledsoe. He lives in North Carolina too, and he's had this amazing experience. It was a shared experience he saw with other men, and it was very real. It was very 3D. Their eyes were open. They were fishing, and it was this long, drawn-out experience of seeing these spaceship-like things and these aliens and these entities, and it's an incredible story. It's called the Fayetteville Incident, because there's a town here in North Carolina called Fayetteville. Well, Chris and I have become friends, and I didn't really know the details of his experience. So I had my experience with the blue beings and the white beings and the white dog. And then a few days later, I finally listened to a video that he made about his experience, and he saw the same beings, the blue beings with the white beings with the white dog. So evidently, they travel together. Somehow, they're connected. And so what Jenna and I are trying to do is figure out, how are they connected? And how are they related? What exactly is that being that looks like a dog? It's not really a dog, but it looks like a dog. And what does that have to do with the white glowing being? And what does that have to do with the blue see-through being? I really haven't heard of any other real experience or seeing a white dog. Have you?
No, I haven't actually, no. Not a white dog. White owls, yeah, not white dogs.
Oh, white owl. Wow. So this is ongoing in our life. This group of entities, we seem to be experiencing them often. And so there's some kind of connection that she and I have with them. And so we're just kind of determined to get to the bottom of it and figure out who they are and what they want and what's going on. It's not scary, though. They're extremely loving and they're very kind. And the dogs are very, very friendly.
That's great. You'd have to come back in again and give us an update.
Thank you.
So thank you for sharing your experience, Sev, with us today. It's been a pleasure to have you on Chronicles.
I loved it. I'm really grateful for you, Nick, and for the work you do. It's really important.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.